When it comes to writing about modern family life, nobody does it better than Joanna Trollope. In Second Honeymoon, her 17th domestic drama, the plot is set in motion by a young man's decision to leave home. His parents, Edie and Russell, are left with an empty nest and each other.
"Look," Edie said, "I'm sorry." She had made tea in the big pot with cabbage roses on it. It was extremely vulgar, but it had intense associations for Edie, as everything in her life did, everything that reminded her of a place, a person, a happening. She said, "I was fed up with you because you wouldn't understand." "I do understand," Russell said. "Do you?" He nodded, tensing slightly. "Then tell me," Edie demanded. "Explain what is the matter." Russell paused, and then he said, "It's the end of a particularly compelling and urgent phase of motherhood for you. And it's very hard to adjust to." "I don't want to adjust," Edie said. "I want Ben back." Russell poured milk into his tea. "I want him back," Edie said fiercely. "I want him back to make me laugh and infuriate me and exploit me and make me feel necessary." Russell picked up his teacup and held it, cradling it in his palms. "I've been out there in the shed," Russell said, "for about 3 hours. I've been sifting through all sorts of rubbish, things that mattered once and don't anymore, and that's quite painful, knowing things won't come again, knowing things are over forever. But wait," Russell said, "just wait. Rosa's not going to ride that trike again. Matt's not going to hit with that bat. You're not going to read under that lampshade. That's not comfortable. That's not easy to know, to have to accept, but we have to, because we have no choice. And we also have something left." Edie took a long swallow of tea and looked at him over the rim of her cup. "You talk about wanting Ben back," Russell said. "You talk about his energy and neediness and the way it makes you feel. Well, just think for a moment about how I feel. I didn't marry you in order to have Matt and Rosa and Ben, though I'm thankful we did. I married you because I wanted to be with you. Because you somehow make things shine for me, even when you're horrible. You want Ben back. Well, you'll have to deal with that as best you can. And while you're dealing with it, I'll give you something else to think about, something that isn't going to go away. Edie, I want you back."
Joanna Trollope, that's really very lovely. And it makes me wonder if we caused our mothers that much pain when we left home. It seems to me maybe it was easier to grow up when we were young.
My generation left home pretty comprehensively. I mean, we took every last paperback with us when we went. And I think our parents often then turned our bedrooms into something quite different behind our backs, you know. And we went out into a world of pretty certain employment. We considered ourselves launched, really. And I think the world is a much more alarming and harsh place for the young now. And so inevitably, they go out into it much more tentatively. It's quite endearing, really, isn't it? They go leaving their bedrooms looking as they've looked for the last 22 years, you know, all ready to come back to. And they go taking a toothbrush and an iPod. And the moment something goes wrong, they go back. Whereas in past generations, you had lots of children in order for those children to look after you in your old age. Now the table seemed to be turned and the parents go on and on looking after the children. Because it is much harder for them. I think the world's a much more alarming place than it was a generation or two ago. So it seemed to be rather a moment to write about it, because it's always been a huge turning point for women. But it's now huge for everybody. It's as significant for the generation that's leaving as it is for the generation being left.
Well, it's curious the way you describe it, because you seem to have a great deal of sympathy for the young people who are leaving and coming back. And yet,
oh, I do.
There is in this book that you've written also some question about whether the generation that is being left has found ways to handle it. You'd think that those of us of the generation that did, as you say, leave home quite comfortably, you'd think that we would be happy to see our children go, but it's somehow not true.
Well, don't you think the general social attitudes towards parenting have changed? I mean, when my children were little, and they're now in their mid-30s, so, you know, it's a long time ago, there was Dr. Spock for when they were ill, and there was Dr. Penelope Leach for their conduct. Now the parenting instruction manuals fill whole sections of bookshops. There's a sort of notion out there that there's a way of getting parenting right, and of course there isn't. You know, it's different in every situation. So parenting's become more anxious. There's more pressure to get it right, as if you ever could. It's also become more sentimental, this idea of letting children go. Instead of seeing children as people who are lent to you for the duration of their maturity, and your job is to launch them as independent citizens, they're seen almost as an extension of yourself. Therefore, letting them go is much harder. And I think it's quite difficult to be the children of such sentimental parents. I think we need to get off their backs a bit.
So when you began to approach this subject, you created Edie and Russell, the parents of this extended family. And there is a kind of classic problem, which you set up very early in the book, that Edie wants her children to stay, and Russell is glad to have them gone, but loves them very much, but really wants Edie back. Who's fooling
whom? Yes, he does. He's the grown up. He understands. I mean, he's tired also of, I think, of funding his children eternally. You know, he's been financially supporting them all for well over a quarter of a century, and he's rather weary of that. Yes, he wants his marriage back, and he's very plain about it. And Edie's rather afraid of having her marriage back. The role of mother always suited her. I mean, she's an actress. She's a good but not a great actress. And of course, the theatre is a notoriously perilous and rejecting profession. So all her life, she's been able to say, yes, I am an actress and I will accept that part, but only if it fits in with being a mother. She's always had motherhood to be her excuse, so she doesn't need to expose herself to quite all the perils of her profession. And now she's left without that comfortable buffer. Now she's got to face the world of work again. And she's very nervous about doing it. And she's nervous about being left alone with Russell again. She's nervous about this identity vanishing. So being an actress, she makes a three-act drama of it at home. And I intend her to be quite exasperating. Yes. You know, she's pretty theatrical about most things.
I think you've succeeded at that, actually.
Yeah, she's very annoying, isn't she?
Yes.
I know that I've had a lot of letters from English women saying, how do I find a Russell of my own? How do I find a steady, grown-up, patient man like this?
Well, of course, that's a classic question that that you're not forced to answer, luckily.
No, I'm afraid it's not my responsibility.
But it is your responsibility to take on the way in which people live their lives, and especially because you seem clearly interested in it, the way in which women approach the modern world, which involves work.
And this extraordinary capacity that so many women seem to have, which is to reinvent themselves. And women seem to go on doing that all their lives. I mean, it's one of the female qualities which I think disconcerts men so much. But women returners to work have a kind of flexibility of approach, which I have to say, fond though I am of men, you don't see in the other gender quite so much. And once Edie's launched, once she's got the hang of acting again, wry laughter from the other microphone, she finds she loves it. She'd forgotten what it felt like to be good at something that you're paid for. And that's an enormously gratifying situation to be in.
Joanna Trollope calls her 17th novel about modern family life Second Honeymoon. It's out now in paperback.